Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 15. I had to look in the corner to see what it was, so I didn't mess up.
So it's not just me.
Episode 15 of Capes and Commentaries. I am your co-host, Nathan Kennedy, joined as always by Tyler Baker. And this is a gloomy Saturday. Just, I think the entire weekend's going to be like this. So what better way to spend our afternoon than to watch an episode of The Spectacular Spider-Man? As you said before we started to record, probably the best animated version of Spider-Man.
Yeah, hands down. I love Amazing Friends and the solo Spider-Man show of the 80s, but I don't have that kind of fondness for the 90s series. I never wanted to give the MTV series a shot.
The MTV one was not.
Yeah, it just looked like shit. I wasn't going to bother. And the Ultimate Spider-Man series, Jesus Christ, man, I was ready to, you know, throw a brick to the TV after watching. I don't know how far I got into one episode, but I hated Drake Bell as Spider-Man, all the silly chibi shit, and it was just it sucked too because a lot of the visual designs look great, but God, they just. The show just one big vagina. Like no one's a badass. It just sucks. Everyone's just a big pussy in the show.
Man.
But no, yeah, it's I love this show. I watched it when it was a regular show. And I remember kind of being off put by the animation style when I first saw the trailer for it. I'm like, But then I appreciated the Steve Ditko nods that were done in the trailer. I'm like, okay. It's not what I would have hoped initially, but it's not too bad, and the animation style looks pretty good. So I wasn't like super pumped, but I wasn't dismissive of it. And I caught the, I think it was the Vulture episode was the first one. I missed the very first episode with the Lizard, and I caught the tail end of the Vulture episode because, God, this was like in the late 2000s where it was hard to try and figure out when the show came on.
Like, I mean, it's kind of that way now, you know. I wish... Well, at the same time, too, times have changed, and now with Hulu and things like that, you don't really have to be there. You can just catch it the next day, and it's there to watch. But I don't know why they would keep doing that with these shows. Is it just their intent to kind of just put the nail in the coffin and just go ahead and kill it? Because, you know, most of the, as I'm reading here, because I wanted to be like, how many episodes? There's only 26 episodes of this show. I honestly felt like that there were more. And it says here that they wanted to reach 65, but we only got the 26. And the reasoning for this is the ratings for season 2 and the sales of the DVDs, which, you know, it goes back to what you were talking about. You didn't know where to find it. Plus, they moved it to Disney XD. And I can't even think of anyone that has that channel at all. I don't think I've ever known anyone that's had that channel.
I've come across it a few times, but it's because I haven't had cable in like the last 3 or 4 years because I don't have a reason for it. But I do remember having issues trying to find it because I caught it on Saturday mornings like at 10 or 11 o'clock before I'd go to the gym and would watch it. And then at one point, it just stopped playing that time slot. And I didn't watch that whatever channel it was enough to figure out, okay, hey, Spectacular Spider-Man, new episodes, move to Friday nights at 8 o'clock. It just, I don't know, I feel like as a kid, you know, when you either had to use TV Guide or the newspaper or the preview channel, which I know a lot of cable services still have, like the preview channel where you'd see what's coming on. But it just felt like it wasn't hard to miss a new show back when we were kids, you know, when the Batman animated series, they were advertising the hell of it. X-Men, the Spider-Man 90s show. It just felt like it was a lot more easier to find something if it was being moved or something like that. But for the most part, they found the slot and they stuck to it. And I hate that in more recent years, probably, well, hell, in the last almost 20 years. I mean, they did that, pulled that shit with the He-Man cartoon and then say, oh, well, no one seemed to like it. Well, you're not taking into consideration, you pricks. You keep moving it around and I'm advertising it.
I don't understand that mindset. It's almost like they don't want it to succeed, so they're doing everything they can to.
Well, and I also heard something along the lines too that Disney took over the rights to do a Spider-Man animated series and wanted to do their own take, which is why we got that shitty
Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. Yeah.
So I I've heard others. I haven't talked to too many people about this show because some of them they're aware of it, but haven't had the incentive to sit on their ass. Give it a shot. Don't just don't talk to me about it. Watch it.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's how I got into the show, was because of you. You're like, hey, check this out. And I think around the time that you did, I want to say the complete first season had been released on DVD. So I went ahead and picked that up and watched it. And then at that point, it's like, all right, well, where's the second season? And oh, okay, they're doing, and I hate this too. I understand why they do it because of pricing and how kids are, but as an adult that is enjoying these animated shows, I hate that they do it the little volumes. Well, here's three episodes on a volume. And sometimes it's overpriced, you know. It's like, here's the $20 for three episodes. Like, no thank you. I'll wait until inevitably you put it all together, probably for a cheaper price. That applies to everything. I'm going to go on a little mini rant. I hate when a movie gets released on Blu-ray. You know, they did this all the time. Nothing on it. And then a couple years later, 5 years down the road, here's this mega ultra super collector's edition. Here's everything you want. It's like, well, you already got my money once before. Now you want me to double dip on this. And that happens a lot because the fans will do that. They have to just buy all that
and
stuff.
That's why I'm not a fan of people just releasing a new slip case or, oh, look, it's a new kind of, you know, hard cover or a metal type case, which, don't get me wrong, a lot of them do look nice, but I still feel like you're giving the finger to the fans who've already bought your other versions.
Well, and that happened recently. Walmart had a steelbook, Predator, the three movie collection. We had Predator, Predator 2, and then Predators. And I was like, it looks really awesome, and it's only $20. But in my head, and especially now, I was like, well, I already have all those movies. Why do I just for the case? Okay. And I've done that a few times, but I'm reaching a point now where I'm like, all right, I don't need this.
Yeah. And they look cool. I mean, there was that version that Best Buy released of the Karate Kid that had just the Cobra Kai gang on the cover. It looked awesome, but I could not justify spending 15 or another 15, 20, 25 bucks to get it. I just felt like I've got it on Blu-ray. I got it on DVD. I got two copies of it on DVD. I was like, I just can't, you know, I just want the art.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man, we used to double dip so much.
Without question. Well, for the most part, I think a lot of it is because we were getting special features like documentaries, commentaries, trailers, retrospects, you know, it was all about that. And that's how you'll get my money again. If you're going to, you know, screw me out of the first release of another bare bones release with a shitty cover that someone did on their lunch break, you know, and then release a quality version with special features of the more meaty material, fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they just want to re-release the same documentary and included is, I remember when Basic Instinct 2 came out, they pulled the shit that re-releasing the Basic Instinct with new interviews with Sharon Stone and alternate opening. All the alternate opening was Sharon Stone sitting in a chair saying, enjoy Basic Instinct. That was it. I just, go to hell. God.
Well, they already got your $20.
Yeah, they did. But
that movie sucked, man.
Yeah.
You basically just bought that for Sharon Stone's titties, didn't you?
Well, I already had the first version with the ice pick box, with the block of ice and the ice pick.
Oh, yeah, That's the version that I got because you're like, you got to buy this, man. And I think that was at when Blockbuster was still a thing. We went in there and they had it.
Yeah, because by that point, I think they had pretty much discontinued it. And I remember buying it at Best Buy with my dad. And oddly enough, he had no problem with it because he had forgotten how much sex was in the movie. So he's like, oh, yeah, it's a good movie, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. He had no problem buying it.
I who knew we were gonna go from Spectacular Spider-Man to Basic Instinct?
Well, I just say it's like it's just guys hanging out, and guys will ramble on. But we are here to discuss market forces, the first appearance of the shocker, and we'll kind of get into a little bit more about the differences of his introduction, which I don't know if Nathan's aware of. But
well, I'm just gonna say once again, too, no links for this down below. Apologies. You know, you can buy the episode on Amazon or iTunes. I would highly recommend the Blu-ray, the entire both seasons, all 26 episodes, like $23 as of this recording. So pick that up. This is a really fun show.
Yeah, it's a show that you shouldn't be like, you know, just checked on online. Like it's a show that any cartoon fan, definitely Spider-Man fan or a cartoon enthusiast, it's a quality show. It's an A+ show. A+ with extra credit.
And I'll give some greetings to Jake Juggalo and SSJ Mitz.
Glad
you got out of bed, Mitz. Thanks for keeping me up late.
So, Nathan, are you ready? And we'll get started here.
Yeah, let me get my window pulled up. Which, by the way, I just want to specify too. I have the complete first season here on DVD, and then
I've got all mine broken up. They're all broken up.
Yeah, you got those. Yeah, those shitty volumes. Yeah,
but it looks cool on the shelf.
It does, but at this point, man, we got to start saving space.
I don't want. Yeah, and I'm for that because I don't like to. I don't. Nathan was over here not too long ago and said that, man, your Blu-ray collection. So I'm like, there's no more Blu-rays I need to buy. If it's a really good movie or something that hasn't been released yet, I'll buy it. But
I mean, Infinity War came out this week. So.
Oh, man.
I might watch that this weekend.
Oh, boy. My nuts are they're just wound up so tight over that. God. I tell you, man, you watch this series. And you just look at, man, how pussified they've made the Marvel Universe with these movies now. You know, they're just shallow or just they're just shells of what they should be. They're not badass. They're just there to entertain the kids. They're not there to.
I've said it 27 times already. They're not for us anymore. It's for it's for the general movie going audience. Who will play on their phones and shine their flashlights down at us and
say, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah,
I got every right to use my phone during the movie.
I think we're still a little bit bitter about that. Anyway,
we got every reason to be.
You wanna give us a countdown, sir?
Yeah. Yep. 3, 2, 1, action! Great atmosphere here. Setting the stage for a on-the-road heist. I mean, this plays so well. It's like this could be a movie. This could be the opening for a Spider-Man film with this heist, you know, breaking into this security truck. Very, very cool. But when this episode aired, I remember, because I've always been a fan of the Shocker. I love the Shocker, and for some reason, probably due to how he's portrayed in current comic books, they just don't know how to. It's like some people just look at the Shocker as like this sixth-rate villain. I'm like, dude, no, the Shocker's a badass. In his first appearance, he comes in and kicks Spider-Man's ass. But I remember when I saw this, though, like, it's Montana as the Shocker. Montana is one of the three enforcers for all Spider-Man fans. Of course, you know that, but for those who don't, he's a member of the enforcers. He is not the Shocker. Herman Schultz is the Shocker. And I remember when I watched this, like, wait, what, what?
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of made me, like, threw me back, like.
If people are watching us live wondering why I'm doing this right now, the intro's going, and I like the theme song.
It's a catchy theme song. Yeah. It's a very eye-popping intro that really plays up the spectacular Spider-Man.
I like the part when the drums start kicking in and the chorus, and it kind of goes in sync with him climbing up the building. I love that part of the intro. About. Yeah,
yeah, it's a beautiful intro, and I some people that have talked when I've talked to them about this show, they said they're kind of off put by the animation. Like I said, I was for a brief time, but the characters. I mean, there's a couple of voice acting, which it's only with the kids that Peter goes to school with. I think suck. Other than that, everybody from Norman to JJ to Joe Robertson, to Venom and Vulture, played by Robert Englund, you know, and the voice of the Shocker. I mean, everybody, all the villains are nailed perfectly in this show. And, you know, seeing moments like this of what Peter goes through living with his aunt and stuff that you expect to see that's right out of the comic books, this kind of dynamic.
I just imagine that because he's like, I'm not decent. Maybe in her head, she's probably like, he's probably beaten off.
I figured Aunt May is just like depicted. Sally Field's Aunt May may have pictured that or thought that. But Aunt May in this, or like in the comics of the 60s, 70s, 80s, probably didn't know what masturbating was. In my opinion.
Oh, come on. She would have had to have known what it was.
Nah, I just can't picture her like, well, dear Peter, he's in there an awfully long time bopping the baloney. I just can't picture her doing that.
Did you just call it bopping the baloney?
Yeah, it's a reference to National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, didn't just make that up. I can't take credit for that. But I mean, the show, it does take a few liberties and changes dynamics, like setting up Eddie and Peter as buddies, which is not true to the comics. Setting, you know, Montana is the Shocker. Not in the comics.
But they make it work.
They make it work, though. Like, Octer is... And they change Ox's look. They make him look like a Hispanic guy in season 2, but here looks like a big black guy, which is right out of the Ultimate Spider-Man comic books, which I was fine with that. But they seem like they kind of changed his look. Like, is he Hispanic? Is he black or what? But, you know, and what's cool about this show is we're seeing Norman here talking. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I like through this episode and as it goes through the show that he's always just kind of taking jabs at his son.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, the character that's the whole relationship that Harry and Norman have and the comics as well. And they do it so well, and it goes on for so long, especially through all the Goblin episodes. And I remember watching the show too, I'm like, oh, they're tweaking this and tweaking that. And I was like, okay, maybe Harry is going to be the Goblin, just because they were really pushing it. And then in the season two finale, and you do officially find out it's Norman, you're like, they did a good job of throwing you curveballs because they're really hammering in that Harry could be the Goblin.
Yeah, I can, you know, going back to the animation style, I can see why a lot of people would be turned off by it. But, you know, the writing throughout the show is so strong and the stories that they're trying to tell. It's so good that it's easy to just not, you know, just push it. That's the thing. It applies to anything. If the story is good and gets you invested, sometimes it doesn't matter how things look. It goes in all platforms, animation, video games, whatever. Graphically, a video game could look kind of terrible, but if the story's good and it's there, then that makes up for the shortcomings of its style.
Well, I mean, and too, like, I think the animation style, like the characters look a little simplistic, as and that's the way I would try to describe it to somebody who's trying to familiarize themselves with it. But really, like, it doesn't look cheap. You know, it looks just simplistically, you know, like Peter, like there's not a whole lot of definition to people. Like JJ's face has got, you know, cheekbone definition. He's got the facial hair, but Peter's face, they have like the kind of like beauty mark on his face or something like that, you know. But it's simplistic, but it doesn't look really cheap and shitty like, you know, Thundercats Roar or the new She-Ra cartoon. Any opportunity to slam those new cartoons, because this, even though it's not as super detailed as like the 90s series or even the shows of the 80s, it still looks very polished. It looks good. And, of course, all the Spider-Man stuff looks damn good. I mean, I love this. I was so excited. Of course, you know, when you see Marco there in the green shirt, like Sandman, and like O'Hearn, like, all right, Rhino, too. Like, I liked setting up these guys as buddies and that they were, you know, thieves before they become supervillains. Like, this was cool. Like, all this stuff would have worked in a movie as well. I just thought this was so building the universe that
wait
Spider-Man
but
has.
But you don't want Sandman to be sympathetic that he's just doing this for his daughter and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, and then it's like, I didn't mean to kill your uncle, it was an accident. Oh, I forgive you. Bullshit. See, both these guys are just out for themselves. They're your traditional thieves. They're out to kill Spider-Man, steal, and that's the way they should be. There should be no humanizing motive as to why they do what they do. Right. Bullshit. Here we are, the Shocker. Oh, boy.
Now, even though, you know, the animation and the style of it looks a little simplistic, once it's in action like this, it definitely shines.
Oh, my God. It's just one of the many reasons this is still the best Spider-Man show, because the action sequences, I mean, they're so dynamic. They're all over the place. A lot of great action poses. They really capture what you see in the comics with the bantering of Spider-Man and the villain of the week.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they do. There's a really good balance of him being the smart-ass Spider-Man that we're used to seeing. You know, like,
yeah. But it doesn't come off as obnoxious, yeah, or yes. It's Josh Keaton who did the voice of Spider-Man / Peter Parker. It's next to Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man. I just think he nails both personalities so well.
Yeah, that first Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie was good. The second one, not so much.
It has its problems. It really does. But I've told Nathan before, like, I still like it because Andrew's performance was so good, and the Gwen Stacy death was just breaks your heart. So I can forgive it. It's not to say that it's the quintessential Spider-Man movie, but there's still some good merits in it, all because of Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. But I like this in this episode, too, because to me this is like a throwback to the first appearance of Shocker, where Shocker comes in and beats Spider-Man in the first half of the book, just like he does here, and then Spider-Man does come back and defeat the Shocker in a great finale. But it comes in and builds that the Shocker is a real threat.
And there's just so much going on in this episode. You got him dealing with Shocker, you know, the stuff with Norman and then Aunt May and her bills. Like, there's just so many things going on. It's really good that they managed to have all these different little bits intertwined with the main part that was going on and cram that all into about 20 minutes.
And it doesn't feel like overwhelming or overstuffed with too much material, because that's what you see in the comics. You see Peter deal with stuff at work, stuff at home, relationship issues, and then, by the way, oh yeah, I got to deal with this guy's going to come in and try and rob a bank. So it's and I like this kind of idea that, you know, the big man obviously is Tombstone, and all these guys are low-level criminals. They're all kind of attached to Hammerhead, who's attached to Tombstone. And that was another curveball that threw me too, is when they keep emphasizing the big man, I'm like, okay, clearly it's Kingpin. And then you find out it's Tombstone. Oh, wow, that's really cool. Like, I wasn't expecting Tombstone. You know, you always think Kingpin.
But, and I like the little gag that's going to happen the rest of the episode, since he got trapped, yes, in that trash compactor, that people are just constantly going to make comments about how he smells.
And that would make sense, because at least, I mean, this is a comic book after all. So that it's not super realistic. But within the world they're setting, this works with that level of realism, that even though Spider-Man is going through all this stuff, he still has to live that normal life. And yes, him still smelling like garbage and being pointed out
and
by Flash Thompson.
I like the fact too that, like, he's getting picked on, and in his head he's like, all right, things are going to be different, but he still hasn't really had this chance yet to get back at them. Things always happen that still make him kind of look bad. Like this, for instance, right here, you know, like, he's not trying to do this when he throws the ball back here in a second, but ends up hitting her in the back of the head. And he's like, I didn't mean to do that.
Which is classic Spider-Man storytelling, because, you know, even though he definitely would have went through with this if Flash hadn't backed out, it works because, you know, he's letting his ego get to him here, because he knows that I can't really do this kind of stuff openly. Why, like, earlier in the season or somewhere in season one, where he wants to be on the football team, but then realize, you know what, I can't go out there and do all this stuff. People are going to start taking notice. Like, how the hell does Peter Parker become a star football player all of a sudden? And that's when Harry comes in with the Goblin Green and all that stuff. So it just works that it keeps him from showcasing his strengths and talents that would really make people take notice. Like, how is it Peter Parker can start doing all this stuff all of a sudden? So it just works perfectly.
I like how there was that newspaper article, Jameson to take a space shuttle, just kind of looming, yes, there in the background. Yes. I'm like, I like how there's just little touches of things going on that are eventually going to build to something bigger.
The guys behind the show, they really wanted to build this universe and lay down small Easter eggs, letting you know what was coming down the pipeline. I mean, just, yeah, like, Spider-Man fans would catch. I mean, it's just filled with, you know, Foswell, Patch, with in season two when the Sinister Six is reborn. They have Cletus Cassidy at Ravencroft, but he doesn't talk. He's just sitting there in the circle with the Santa Claus, and I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get Carnage at some point, but we don't. But it was just cool to see that. And yeah, just that, like when Nathan said, the newspaper in the background, just so many fun nods, because these guys really like Spider-Man. Like, and they tweaked a few things, but it's forgivable. It's just like in any movie. Movies are going to get, they're going to tweak a few things here and there, but if the overall package is still treating the source material with the best dignity, it's all passable.
You still got an hour left. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah. And I just love, because these guys do show up a couple of times, and it's, and of course, you know, in the oncoming episodes, they would become the Sandman and the Rhino in the next two episodes. And it's just fun to see these guys, you know, gradually being, building up this feud with Spider-Man, just to have them come back as larger than life characters.
I like how he has to sit and explain the yeah. definition of what he just said. This is good, so, and heavy, and they topple over.
This is just classic stuff. And it doesn't, you don't feel like, oh God, another joke. Like, no, it's done. Brief moments. It doesn't take you out of the scene, and it's not doing, it's like, hey, look, this is funny, isn't it? You know, it's just this is what Spider-Man is. I mean, anybody who's read a really good Spider-Man comic, I mean, this is the essence of all the great stories from the 60s to the 80s. I mean, to the 70s. I mean, it's all captured here in this show here. Even the nod of, like, Peter's, like, shirt tag hanging out. Like, that's a fun, nice little touch. It's just the attention to details. And go ahead.
Bob, I was just going to ask you, how much do you think he's getting paid for his pictures? How much is he getting paid per picture? If he's making enough to where he can buy a new digital camera, digital cameras around this time were not, and they still aren't that cheap. So
no.
we're looking at a good two. I'm going to guess he gets paid about $300 per picture.
I always figured, even when reading the comics as a kid, that when he's getting paid in any version, and of course, as he gets older, I'm sure he probably the increase of pay because he's been with the Bugle for so long. But even as a teenager, I figured he's getting a pretty good, healthy amount of money, a couple hundred bucks for each, you know, picture. And I like this too.
Yeah, this is cool. It's like, hey, we both like hot dogs with mustard. Hey, we work at the same place. We like hot dogs. You wanna come to my dance?
Yeah, my high school dance, which we'll say that definitely should have been left out, Peter.
I wonder, how old is Betty? Probably just early 20s, probably fresh out of college kind of thing.
Yeah, college age girl, yeah. Because in the comics, she's already working at the Bugle, and Peter's in high school. I mean, and they do have a bit of a romance too, but she ends up getting with Ned Leeds in the comics, I believe. So this just kind of the early romance stuff. And of course, she's in the 80s series as well as like a love interest as well. But I like that, you know, because they kind of dance around this as well, as along with Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy, because Peter Parker has had multiple love interests throughout his superhero career / high school, college career, even Black Cat when she shows up as well. Who's done very well. And I absolutely love this. Of a lot of the solo fights, this fight, I just thought, in this abandoned theater, this is just kick ass. This would look so good in a movie.
Yeah, so they won't do it because it's too good of an idea.
No, and it's a shame too that in Spider-Man Homecoming, they just name drop Shocker without actually showing us Shocker. I'm like, what the hell did you even bother to even mention his name for? I was so pissed off about that. Just one of many reasons I didn't like that movie. But lo and behold, we do get, this is the best version of the Shocker we've ever gotten. I do like the one in the Amazing Spider-Man, or Spider-Man and Amazing Friends, Along Came Spidey. Because he's the villain in that episode. He's done pretty good. But this is probably the best that I've seen. You know, I think giving him the, it's, even though it's Montana, but the Shocker with a a very high Southern accent. It works. He comes off as a very intimidating villain. And it just looks cool, like this in this abandoned theater, just causing chaos all over the place.
Yeah.
Just letting these guys really cut loose and just do what we want to see. Just have these guys just beat the hell out of each other. And it just looks visually cool, like all the shots, the angles. And they do such a good job of playing Chakra up as a legitimate threat to Spider-Man. Because I hate how he's just seems to be dismissed by not all Spider-Man fans, but I've heard it more than I felt is legitimized. Because there are some crummy ass Spider-Man villains, but Shocker ain't one of them, man. I mean, what do you think of Shocker when you went back and rewatched this as a villain, you know, as a Spider-Man fan yourself, and enjoying the villains? What's your take on the Shocker overall in this interpretation?
Well, I would say overall it's good, as you said, with them taking liberties. You know, him having the accent could be a turnoff to some people. For me, not so much. I mean, it's a good interpretation too, because they've already established him as kind of a badass anyway.
Yeah.
Prior to him going into the suit, so you know, like it just sort of builds him up more.
Yeah,
pushes him more. It's like Vince and Roman Reigns or something. I don't know where I'm really going with that.
But I just think it was because I thought it was awesome how the enforcers were included, because I don't recall them being. I think they were used in the 80s animated series. I think the Amazing Friends, I think the enforcers should. I think, God, I don't want to quote that. But I feel like the enforcers, I always thought they were an underutilized faction with Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery. And it was so cool to see them in this and to give. Let's do something with Montana and make him the Shocker. Like, I just thought that was a nice touch. It was off-putting at first, but I'm like, you know what? It worked. It's great. Kicks ass.
I like this part where Norman's like, hey, if you want to be popular, be popular. If you don't want to fail, study. Like, own up to your own shortcomings. Don't blame it on somebody else.
Which, you know, as him being the hard-ass prick that he is, he's got a point.
You know? I mean, he really does.
And I absolutely love the use of Hammerhead, because I loved him as a kid, and it was so cool to see him utilized like this as Tombstone's right-hand man and doing business with Osborn and using Osborn, you know, is a primary source for a lot of the villains that do show up, which, you know, I thought it worked for the show.
And Tombstone is voiced by Keith David, right?
I don't think so. It sounds a lot like Keith David, but I don't believe the actor that does Tombstone.
Really?
It sounds a lot like Keith. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because it sounds just like Keith David.
I'm looking it up.
Look it up. Because I remember when I first watched the show, I'm like, oh, I think it's Keith David talking.
It really sounds like him.
Yeah. Because I had to double check it myself. Because I'll let you verify it there real quick as we're talking. But I like this, you know, encouraging the creation of more villains. Obviously, we get the Sandman and the Rhino in the next two episodes. And Dr. Octopus will show up as an accident that happened at Oscorp as well. Not to say that all the villains that show up are due to, like, accidents or creations of Oscorp, because that would be a bit too much. But I like that. I think it ties a lot of things together.
And I like this. Just like, all right, we're going to do this, but you need to save 10%. And I'm like, well, that's probably not going to be Dick. That's going to take him forever to save up to get a new camera.
Yeah. Their whole dynamic was done very well on the show too. Like they don't make her obnoxious. They don't. I like that.
I'm like still that. Like he's done so many damn things. I'm just sitting here scrolling through. Yes, he did the voice for Tombstone. Ha!
Where the hell did I read that it wasn't him?
I bet it's even in here in the credits as well.
Or did, well, for did some reason, because I thought it was Keith David when I first heard it too, but then there was something along the way that told me that it wasn't him, that it was another actor. I'll stand correct on that because it sounds just like Keith David. Well, I'll be damned. But that was our first episode of Spectacular Spider-Man. And given that this, what?
No, I'm just thinking about all the prior episodes, like how much we have jumped around. I don't know. I hope that's not a huge turn off to anybody. I hope people weren't expecting us to just sort of go in order with this sort of thing. Also, hello to Tamara Shipper and JSP for joining us as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Appreciate that couple joining us there. I don't know. I kind of feel like keeping people guessing. Like it would just kind of, you know, as the mood always strikes us, like, you know what, we'll do like a few episodes of Batman. Like, we need to do this. And it's just kind of the excitement. I mean, if we were getting requests, that'd be one thing. But, you know, we don't... Yeah. Get the kind of feedback that we demand from our listeners. So, you know, if we were to get a request for more Batman or more X-Men or more Amazing Friends, whatever, we could honor that. So, I don't know. Like, I talked to Nathan. It's like, I want us to try and tackle an episode of the Rambo animated series, which is not a superhero cartoon, but it's exactly like G.I. Joe. So we might try and do that. We're breaking our own rules here, people. So.
I mean, I feel like
you know what? Our point, our purpose is like to let people know, you know.
We should just rename the show.
God. Yeah. But Capes and Commentary sounded so good, though. Like, that was our purpose was not to cover G.I. Joe, Rambo, Dino Riders. It was just Batman, X-Men, Spider-Man, and Justice League, and that's it. And I think as we go along, it's like, you know what? Why shouldn't there be more notice thrown out to some of the... I mean, you know, I don't see us doing, you know, like Jason the Wheeled Warriors or something like that. But, you know,
We did get a request for Super Friends.
Oh, well, I got no problem doing Super Friends. I have a volume of Super Friends on the shelf there.
And it just popped in. How about talk about Jason the Wheeled Warriors?
Oh, wow. Who'd have thought someone at the exact same time mentioned Jason the Wheeled Warriors, just as I was saying. We don't get requests for Jason the Wheeled Warriors. but yeah, if we had, like, someone wants us to do, hey, can we get another episode of Batman? Can we get more X-Men? Can we get, you know, more Spectacular Spider-Man or something like that? Yeah, I think that'd be good. But I also feel like it's fun to bring merit to shows that or episodes that are overlooked, ignored, not given, you know, because there's so many morons on YouTube who's making their lifestyle as a YouTube personality by shitting all over good cartoons and saying, look how stupid they are. Aren't I funny?
Where are you even seeing any of this stuff?
They're all over YouTube. Just you just do a YouTube search for any kind of cartoon you can think of.
You're gonna have to send me a link.
I mean, there's just jerk offs all over the place that wanna say they like the cartoon, but their whole video is just shitting all over and looking for problems and all this stuff. I'm like, go to hell, man. You know, I grew up on these cartoons. I'm not saying that they're works of art, but they're still fun and enjoyable action cartoons. And for someone who thinks they're so smart and witty, by picking apart a cartoon that was meant for kids 30 years ago.
Tyler's go-to. Go to hell.
Yeah, just go to hell, man.
Also got a request for Cops.
Yes. Oh, Cops. Yeah.
He said or Cops and kind of with like a laughy face. And Mask. Yeah, I mean, all of these are shows we're probably going to touch on. Yeah, it's going to happen.
If people are interested in that stuff, hell yeah. I mean, why? If we've already branched out this far, yeah. You know, I think as long as we keep it with action-oriented cartoons, we can feel like, you know what? Our fan base knows us by now. They know what we like. So I don't think it's a stretch if we include Brave Star, if we include Cops.
And if they don't know what you like, just look behind you all the time. I wish we were doing this when I lived at my old place, because in behind me, man, I had like my DVD collection on the wall, had like posters in behind me and everything. And now it's just like, what do I get?
A Little Pony in the background.
I get Emily's
this
desk.
This guy's got balls, man. Yeah. He's got a pink pony in the background there. And I've got a wall of Arnold behind
me. Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for new listeners that check us out to be like, why is he a brony? Like, I expect that. But once again, specify it's not mine. It's my girlfriend's.
Yeah. Oh, and there will be an evil horde poster going behind Nathan's head at some point that's on the way. So
yeah,
there will be some machismo hanging up behind Nathan.
Yeah, I'm going to hang something on that door.
Yeah.
Like, I got to have something in the background. It's like, hey, I do like this stuff.
Oh, he does. I've seen his collection. It's pretty damn huge.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I can just tilt it over that way, that's where all my figures and shit are. So
yeah, and then he's got an entire upstairs that's covered with vintage video games and his Creature from the Black Lagoon collection. So the guy is all about retro as well. So he's here for a purpose, you know. But yeah, it's I think it'd be fun to do cops and you know.
Yeah, we'll just touch G.I. it all, and if we end up having to change the name of the show, we'll do it to encompass all of it.
Well, I mean, I'd say I don't see why we need to change it, because that's what got us started with superhero cartoons. And, you know, we keep talking about doing commentaries maybe on Beyond Retro, but you know what? This is what this podcast is dedicated to, is, you know, doing commentaries for 22-minute episodes. So,
yeah.
I mean, we've done Turtles.
Yeah, this one was definitely 22-minute. Oh, you're talking just like the episodes themselves. A bunch of other stuff coming in. Let's see. Brave Star. G.I. Joe, yeah. Transformers.
Yep. Yep.
Jake Juggalo says Stripperella. You remember that show?
Yeah. Yes, I remember when Spike TV was like, oh man, check out all of our new content.
Yeah, I remember the promos for that. It's just like, look at Pam Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, Stan Lee presents. Like, oh, well, I got to watch it because Stan Lee's name's attached to it. And Pam, I'm like, get naked as a cartoon. I'm like, no, she's not getting naked.
Maybe if it was on HBO, possibly, but no.
Yeah. If it was like the Spawn HBO series or something like that. But if people are cool with that, because Nathan got Transformers, so, and I've got Transformers, we can do that. We can do more X-Men, Brave Star, because I've got the whole series. That I don't know that Nathan's got Brave Star.
I mean, I can get it. I'll obtain all these things. Just like if we're gonna do Rambo, I don't own any of the volumes of that. I vaguely remember it as a kid, not super detailed on it, but that's a show I would love to check out. I mean, God, an animated show based off of that and property.
It gets dismissed and forgotten because they use actual guns and bullets in the show. It's not lasers. The Rambo music from the first film is used heavily throughout every episode, like Jerry Goldsmith's score. They're showing close-ups of Rambo's muscles when he's lifting something heavy. It comes off as like, you know, they are like small Rambo movies or Missy in action films in animated form. You got kick-ass villains, a small group of heroes, and you know they do have to tone it down a little bit for kids. But like one of the first episode, which is what I might throw to Nathan, there's so many nods to Rambo 2 in that first episode. Like, oh my God, man, they're doing a lot of like cool stuff that's very reminiscent of the second film. So yeah, I think if we do that, or Raid on Las Vegas, which was a show, that episode that showcases a lot of the cool villains all in one episode, you know, because Nathan hasn't watched the show since a kid, so I really wanted him to be introduced to, you know, why I like the show so much. At least the villains is one of the best parts of the show, because there's so many cool villains in the show. But maybe the first episode, just to see what, you know, Nathan's taken, because that's
just like, we're not doing this anymore.
Well, I mean, I'm just curious. He may think, oh, this is stupid, man. Why did you pick this? He may pull a Joe Amato on me, whereas, you know, Joe likes to defend everything and say it's great for the most part. But I think we might do Rambo next week. If Nathan,
you opened up the floodgates, man. Everyone is just like, Flash Gordon, Drawn Together. I remember Drawn Together. Joe Amato has graced us with his presence.
Has he now?
And says Dungeons and Dragons.
No.
There were some capes in there.
Well, he's got me there. But, you know, Joe, I don't have that because someone said a while back they were going to get me a copy of the series. But I guess since I've since denounced any gifts from the state of Ohio, especially the city of Toledo, I can no longer accept anything out of generosity from anywhere in Toledo, Ohio, even if it is Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not opposed to doing that either. I don't own it, though. But if JoJo wants to break the cardinal rule of accepting and giving gifts, I'd be more than happy to do a review for Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I guess that's not going to happen. Humanoids was another request that popped up. They're basically like, hey, see, we do give you feedback.
Well, yeah, I shame all of you into giving us feedback. I mean, how many months have me and Nathan been doing this? Like, yeah, it'd be great if somebody would tell us what they want to hear. Just hear crickets. So, yes, that's what we need to hear. Damn it, man. That's good. I'm glad to hear that you know, people are like, hey, and this too. You know, yes, that's what we want to hear. We want to know that people are enjoying what we do. We don't get any feedback for this podcast. We'll get downloads, and I don't check YouTube because
Joe posted today on Facebook the cover for Pro Wrestling on the Master System. I imagine that's going to get about 700 likes and hearts and about 67 comments.
So, yep. And we'll share this and
get nothing.
And Joe's sitting in his chair with his bubble pipe, just kind of laughing. But then he realized he can't put the bubble pipe in his mouth because his mask is still on. Then he holds his head, throws it, and breaks it, and, you know, but because he can't break kayfabe. Joe's like a Mexican wrestler. He's going to wear that mask when he greets kids at the airport, when he goes to the grocery store, when he's on a date. And she says, we can't kiss goodnight until you take the mask off. Tuck and roll, babe, and then kicks her right out of the car. He's like the Bill Watts of podcasting.
Yeah, we need to. I'll send this link to Janish. That way, he can do some photoshops of like Joe in the grocery store with his mask, or like Joe in the car with another girl beside of him.
Yeah,
and with like little word bubbles of like, "Hey, we got a kiss," and then doing the tuck and roll thing. Yeah. I'm gonna send him a link to this.
He took all of our faces and put us on a Norman Rockwell picture. I don't know if he sent it to you guys or not.
Yeah. Is it the one where like Joe's the little kid?
Yeah.
No, that was hilarious.
I love Nathan and Joe's spot on it because Nathan's cleaning the windshield and singing a song about Fudge Pack, you know, and Joe's sitting there like a little kid listening to me as the guy. It just like Nathan's just like this behind like Fudge Pack's back, and like it just was perfect. It was really good.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, that'd make a great t-shirt. Back in my day, you know, yeah.
We should probably just start putting some designs on like Redbubble or something. That way if people want to buy Beyond Retro autographed tank tops from Tyler, then.
Yeah, that would be cool if we had some sort of design we could put on Redbubble and just give it all to Joe. Like we put together something, let Joe post it. Joe can keep all the proceeds, you know, so we can, you know, go to McDonald's and get it like a wholesale box with the straws there. I picture like Joe probably does like a lot of grand openings for like McDonald's in his area, like always cutting the ribbon with the mask on and does like, you know, photo ops with the kids.
God, he's going to be so pissed when we start the show tomorrow because he's not here to defend himself. Look at you kicking a man. He's not even here.
Hey, well, I will say this just to let people know, we're doing our Jaws sequel discussion, and Joe was so good enough to ensure that he watched 2, 3, and Jaws the Revenge for this occasion. I'm so proud. I was telling Nathan before we recorded, I'm so thankful that Joe did it because I didn't think he was going to do it. So I'm super pumped to have that discussion. There's so much to say because I've never got to talk to Nathan in great detail about the sequels because he didn't watch them that much. And Joe has never seen the sequels, so there's a lot of excitement on my end to hear what these guys have to say. Where do they decide to desecrate in their hand and throw it in my face and say, oh, they all suck, man? You know, we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll just see how that goes.
Yeah, but we'll be back next week with probably the first episode of the Rambo cartoon as well. to let the masses know that this should not be ignored and made fun of. There's some good stuff in these cartoons, and not be lumped in with some hipster douchebag on YouTube. Her, the Rambo cartoon came out in 1986, and it was really lame. You know,
I like that. Normally, these episodes run anywhere from about half hour to 45 minutes. This one is just like extended on past that because we just started talking about whatever.
Well, you know what? I guess that's ground that we, because anytime people do commentaries for stuff like that, it's usually like, okay, here we are. Enjoy the movie. 3, 2, 1, play. Well, you'll get a little extra bang for your buck. Some ranting before, some ranting after, but we all keep it within like the pop culture context of cartoons and movies and toys and stuff like that. It's not like we're going to sit down and talk about, well, you know what I saw Trump did today? Like all that kind of horse shit, you know? Like, no, this is strictly fun stuff. And I don't follow politics. I don't give a damn about it. I'm just saying that if you're going to listen to us, you're going to get a lot of fun discussions with us, even if it's not just Spider-Man based, but you're going to have a lot of fun stuff in general that constitutes as it's all relatable.
Well, Joe gave us a new name for the show, Capes and Commentaries and Bullshitting.
I like that. CCB. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, we might have to consider just retooling the name just a tad. I don't know. Maybe not.
Capes, Commentaries, and Guns or something like that. Hell, I don't know.
Capes,
Rambo and G.I. Joe. We may have to throw in an extra C there. I don't know. For something. See, Cops, Capes, and Commentaries?
No.
Nah, that doesn't work either. I don't know. I think we may just overthink it. You know what? It's our roles. People who listen to us, they know what we like. I don't, you know, it's, you know, I don't think they're, unless we like hit like the severe mainstream or something like that, and some big executive comes in, hey guys, with this big fat stokey that's dropping off cigar ashes, we got to change the name here, guys. You know, you guys are going to be going live on Jimmy Fallon. He doesn't know jack shit about cartoons, but you got to make it mainstream, you know, because that's what he is. He's mainstream and just laughs at everything because he ain't funny, you know.
He's gotten better. He's adapted into his role as a talk show host.
I don't know. He did some decent stuff on Saturday Night Live, but I don't look at the guy as like a legitimate talk show host at night. But that's me. Stephen Colbert, he works, but I don't watch either one of the shows, so why should I care? I don't have cable.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I don't stay up late to watch stuff anyway.
Yeah, your bedtime. Yeah, your bedtime is about 8 o'clock.
I'm not as bad as a senior citizen, but not too long after that. I will stay up at least till Jeopardy goes off, and then I'm like, so I better start winding down here.
Yep. Get you a glass of warm milk.
God, I remember my granddaddy would drink warm milk for bed. Like, why the hell would you warm milk?
It helps you sleep.
It just sounds awful, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like milk that much either. Emily,
I like cold skim milk, but I couldn't warm it up.
I don't like milk, period. Like, there are about 4 cereals that I will actually put milk in. Other than that, I eat it dry, and everyone looks at me like I'm a weirdo, and I'm just like,
Yeah, but to me, eating dry cereal or cereal with milk, like, to me, they both go hand in hand. I'm like, people eat cereal out of the box, so they don't expect you to put milk in the box.
Yeah, you remember those days you'd come and stay, and I'd just have a box of Cheerios and, like, a little bowl, and just I would eat an entire box of Cheerios in one night.
Well, I sit and play a video game while he just, man, you can't play with the shit, man. But he's just sitting there just eating the Cheerios, you know, just, like, slamming me for something. He's just like, and then we go on and look up. Basically, the days we look up like AOL personals and stupid shit like that.
Yeah,
and
before Facebook profiles, yeah. you really had to dig and look for stuff.
Or going on Yahoo reviews and putting reviews to like really shitty horror movies.
I miss that.
Yeah,
I miss when we would. I wish those still existed so I could go back and read them.
Yeah, they were fun. They were just simple little things we did for like Summer Party Massacre, Wolfen, and I think it was a Spawn. I remember Nathan put up one of Spawn. But they were just fun because they were up for years. And that was just fun to. God, we're really rambling now. We need to cut this.
That's our gimmick.
Yeah, I get. Why deny who we are? If people like us, they'll enjoy the whole package. You know, we thank everybody that does tune in, listens to us. Everybody tuning up today, if you listen to it on Podbean or iTunes, thanks for, you know, hey, look, you like what we do. You enjoy a commentary about a cartoon that's not talked about enough, or at all. And that is what we do. It's what we want people to know, is, you know, it's not just shit you slap on a t-shirt. Oh, I remember that cartoon. Do you? Tell me about it. I had one of the toys. My aunt got it for me for my birthday. I remember the cartoon came on in the mornings. That's it. Yeah. You know, I demand more. You know,
so I mean, that's how I am sometimes.
Well, I'm the counterweight. Nathan's the casual guy. He's like, yeah, I remember that. I think I had like a toy or something.
Hey, to specify, there are most of the things and the shows that we talk about that I did watch a lot of. Most of it is just having not seen it in a long time. My memory is just not good. Like, I can sit here and tell you almost the entire card for Bash at the Beach 97. But if you want me to remember episode specific of any of the cartoons that we talk about, I'm probably not even going to recall most of them.
Well, because that's has not been your forte. Like, you have got WCW and WWF pay-per-views, especially from the 90s and early 2000s. Like, you have them down. You have the card, the who won, who interfered, or whatever. You have all that down memorized. I know a decent amount, but you put me to shame on that in terms of what you remember in terms of, like, the card.
Yeah, that's because you're just like, oh, man, the Hardy Boys lost. That show sucked.
Yeah. Because I was a mark back then. I was a proud mark. I said, absolutely. And I own it, you know. Much like how Nathan was super upset when Vince McMahon came in at the end of WrestleMania 17. And yeah, we're talking about a guy who came to school a broken man the day after that WrestleMania.
Well, because it was just bullshit. Where do you go from there? Yeah. And I mean, it was evident as we went into the summer in an invasion. Like, people did not want to boo Stone Cold. They just didn't. They liked him how he was, and they wanted to try to switch it up and change it, and it didn't work. It provided some good comedy with him and Kurt Angle trying to vie for the affections of Vince McMahon, but just overall didn't work. And what happened? They turned him back into that old character again. Go figure.
Just for one night, and then he goes back to, I'm the leader of the invasion. Like, what? We'll have to discuss that on another Wrestle Talk episode with Joe Amato.
The terrible thing about WrestleMania 17, it is widely regarded as probably the best top to bottom card. You could probably throw 18 in there, like, talent wise. It's a good show. It's just the ending didn't fell really flat for me, and especially with how they dragged it out. Vince comes down. Oh, Austin, he's turned, and then he just beats him with a chair for like the next 10 minutes. I'm like, just end it already. This should have been.
No one's really responded to it. Like, JR's trying to sell it more than anything, and it was just kind of more like here his screaming commentary and the music. And
God almighty. Yeah. Yeah.
If you had the sound bit of that, you would just play that randomly. That and Undertaker and Kane.
Undertaker and Triple H.
Yes.
About to go. Oh, yeah, Motorhead, and we're going to kick your ass. And then he just drunkenly forgets all the words as he's singing Triple H's
that
name.
And, like, the instruments aren't playing right.
Oh, yeah, it's got, like, that feedback. And Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, man.
Joe asked if we're going to the movies anytime soon. No.
No, hell no. No.
Honestly, the next time that I will probably go will probably be when Halloween comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
I'm already dreading it. I'm already dreading it. We're going to have to go at, like, on a early morning weekday showing or something.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those things where we have to go Saturday morning. Or the first showing Saturday, which means you're going to have to go to bed when you get home.
Yeah, you know, like, that's going to happen.
You know, I got to stay up till 8 o'clock in the morning and go to bed. Oh, God, we got a movie.
You can blame all of the early morning, late night, however you want to word it, on SSJ Mitz. I'm sitting there. He was streaming this morning. I'm like, I'm going to go, man. And he does this every time. He's like, well, hey, everybody, because I go by Mongo on his stream because that's, you know, just the gamer tag.
Because Nathan thing. Was a Manga McMichael fan back in the 90s.
Yep. So that's huge, best horseman.
Yeah.
Ever. but he does this at the end of, like, when I'm getting ready to.
I love Nathan's, like, always.
I mean, he sucked, man.
He does suck. But I love associating you and Mongo McMichael. I always have because.
Well, I think my favorite part in the Botchamania is that he's in is when he's fucking up. It's usually in these multi-man tags. And yeah. You can just see all the guys on either side just looking at each other like, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, they're all just trying to look away, but they can't because it's terrible.
Never mind that shit. Here comes Mongo.
Then the X-Men theme plays. That's the best one.
That was the best one. Yeah.
But
oh, God.
Basically what Mitz does when I'm leaving is like, well, you know, thanks Mongo for joining the stream. If you guys are, you know, into he does it just to get me started. He's like, if you guys are into, you know, some of that older stuff from his time. By the way, there's only 4 years difference between us, but I digress. And well, just like
this comes from someone who hasn't seen Jaws, at least in English, I think.
Well, here's the thing. He only does it so it keeps me on a little longer.
So he's found a loophole.
Yeah, he's found a loophole. I'm like, I need to go to bed. And he's like, well, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I called him on it this
morning.
Playing
on your ego. He's like, yeah. Oh, hey, this guy's on the podcast. Oh, yes, I'll sign some autographs. I'll do a Q&A here.
Yeah. It's roping me back in. This has been a long episode.
God, it has.
If you came here for the commentaries, I hope you didn't like
it. It's long gone.
I hope you liked the commentary, but I also hope you enjoyed all the extra rambling and BS that went along with it. Yeah, anything else we should talk about before we?
I think we're good because I'm ready to put the hammer down on the Jaws discussion tomorrow and discuss the first episode of Rambo next week for Capes and Commentaries, and then I will say probably after that we probably owe ourselves to go back to Batman. And do an animated series after that, you know. And I need to get back in touch with James E. Talk, but he's getting ready for PowerCon, which is next weekend. So we probably won't, and that's probably my fault because when he was supposed to join us, I forgot, and I think James forgot too.
It happens.
We got to get him on at some point. We need to bring Danielle back to do our 89 commentary. So we'll have some fun stuff. But you know, after Rambo, maybe we should go back and. To what got us started, which was Capes and Commentaries, and we'll do a Batman animated series episode.
And by then, the name probably would have changed.
Yeah. So we need to at least kind of honor why we call it the podcast. We'll do that in 2 weeks.
All right.
Yeah. So Rambo next week, and then back to the animated series of Batman. We'll figure out what we'll do then.
All right. Well, there we have it. Thanks to all of you guys for joining us live in the chat. That was pretty awesome and giving
us. Thanks for the feedback as well, people.
After he guilted you into
After everything. I shamed you all. And...
But if you are new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, hit that bell so you get the notifications like these guys did, and you can come join all the craziness in the live chat. Check all the links down below. We got the audio archive, so you can check us out on Podbean. Look for us on iTunes under Pop Culture Network. If you are listening to us through those, give Beyond Retro a search on YouTube. All this is working up here as I'm saying all these things. That's why it kind of like stops and starts. I'm like, I just need to get like
a VHS tape. You got kind of to kick him a little bit.
Yeah.
Take it out, blow on the tape, shake it over, put it back.
I really need to just get a note card that kind of has it written down in a bullet point way so I don't
You're still stuttering and stammering at the end there.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
Like Honky Tonk Man making fun of Texas Tornado.
I went back and watched some of those older episodes of Beyond Retro that we did where I did the intros and things like that. And I was like, yeah, I've gotten better and a little more behind the mic. Because some of those I'm just like, ugh, that was rough.
Yeah, you're kind of like Garth in Wayne's World when Wayne leaves the set. Like, Joe, did you ever see that movie Scanners?
Oh man,
good stuff though. Hope everyone enjoyed it, and you know, we encourage you, not just people in the chat room, but you listen to this at some point, reach out to us on Facebook or on iTunes or Podbean or something. Let us know you want us to do more Batman. You're tired of our 80s bullshit or whatever. Anything
talk about new cartoons.
Oh no, you can go to hell on that.
Go to hell.
Yeah. You go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
Go to hell with your yuck fest.
Yeah, your yuck fest and your Zima and your hula hoops and your Dan Vogelberg and your Pac-Man video games.
Before we go, I was going to mention this on Beyond Retro tomorrow, but whatever, who cares? Reggie Jackson came into town. I don't know if you saw this, but Reggie Jackson came into town because he's a scout for the Yankees. So he was coming.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, so he was coming to check. Yeah, so he was there at the ballpark, and I was like, man, I wish I would have been there, and I could have met him. So I could have been like, I don't have your fucking ball. I would have loved to have just said that to him.
Oh, man.
That would have been fantastic.
Oh, dude, I would have been just for Naked Gun and basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mr. Arctur, no, that was Dwayne Zachemore.
Yeah. I mean, whoever it was.
I did bust out a basketball reference at work last night because when they canceled overtime for today, I was like, great, I'm going to go home and fuck to sleep in my favorite jacket. And everyone was like, what? And I was like, oh, don't worry about it.
I'm sure like, what was that damn Nathan saying? He going to fuck his favorite jacket? I might do that too.
Man, that perfect interpretation. You nailed it.
That's sad.
No, there was this guy that walked up to me yesterday. I'm sitting there, you know, on the vehicle that I use to drive the fairings around. And he was like, man, you got it made, don't you? You got the easiest job in this place.
Oh, my God. Another one of those.
Yeah, another one of those. And patted me on the shoulder as he walked past. And I was just like, oh, you need the money. You need the money. Anyway. We're still just going. Let's just talk all day.
Yeah. Well, we probably could, but
24-hour live stream. Here we go.
Get to the point where people are like, enough of this shit. And they just gradually start dropping like flies in the chat room.
No, they're all still here. I'm sure anyone that listens to on Podbean and stuff is probably like, oh my, what are they? Okay, whatever. I'm turning this shit off. Never listening again. Unsubscribe.
I will say this. If you're still listening by this point, do you like the RoboCop cartoon from the 80s? There's a reference for you.
I think I got
Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos.
I think I got one of those figures. I think.
Yeah, you had RoboCop.
No, yeah. I'm just going back to that point you made earlier of like, I think I had one of those figures.
Hey, you know, we like that cartoon as well. I got it on VHS right over here. So there's a little Easter egg. Oh, wait, this guy's no RoboCop from the animated series from Marvel.
Do you even have a functioning VCR at your place?
No, it got when I used to live down the road. I had the DVD / VCR combo thing, and I don't know what happened to it in that move. I don't know if it's I have no idea because I still there were still a lot of things at that point that were on VHS that I was still.
I need to dig out my VCR because I actually have two of them packed away. One of them was my parents that I just took with me, and.
I'd be too scared to use it, though. I could prefer it would tear up the tape. I just assume go to Christiansburg and get that guy to transfer stuff to DVD for me and watch it in the old quality.
I mean, honestly, instead of doing that, dude, I should just look up a converter and just do it for you. You don't need to pay money for that kind of shit.
Well, then get on it here, man. I got a whole slew of VHSs I want to have transferred. I want Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, too, transferred to DVD, you know? I want my Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man show from the 80s. I want that on DVD. I want RoboCop on DVD. I want Chuck Norris and Karate Commandos on DVD. You know, I want to see Predator on the old VHS quality. I would love to see that with the old grit, you know, on the film and the commercial for Revenge of the Nerds 2 at the beginning of it and stuff like that. The old CBS Fox logo, like, that's how you watch Predator back in the day, man. That was just badass. Okay.
Yeah.
It's called. We're done.
Thanks again for everyone that joined us live. Anyone else out there that's checking this out in the archive, hope you enjoyed. We will see you next time on Capes and Commentaries and tomorrow on Beyond Retro.
And that night on Fans of Power.
Yeah, that too. All right. Take care, guys.
Good night.